And welcome to episode 189 of Dynasty Underdog. I'm your host, Jariah Dawkins, and with me tonight, Billy Beeman. What's up, man?
Not much, dude. Stoked to be here. I was just saying, we have kind of like an old school episode tonight, just quick little segment, prospect profiles, and then we get out of here with some dynasty trades. I love it.
Yep. It's kind of like one of my favorite little formats, just kind of like bang, 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 let's go. And let's hop into it. So we'll start with our free agent leftovers. Obviously, we recorded last Tuesday at the height of free agency, but there's always some backfill we have to cover. So we'll top right into it. So Calvin Ridley bet on himself. That was supposed to be funny, but he bet on himself and he ended up with the Titans.
This is good. No, it was good. I definitely didn't do it justice whatsoever.
That's okay.
You crushed that one. I thought this one was kind of interesting given at like the press conference or at a press conference, I don't know which one it was, but Ridley alluded to wanting to really be in Jacksonville and not Tennessee. But yeah, the money was there. So I guess it doesn't matter in the end. QB downgrade, upgrade for the QB. It's an interesting situation, right? I mean, he goes there and he's playing with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it's a pretty solid wide receiver room. It's going to be a little bit different scheme than before. Got some running backs. It's going to be interesting. I don't know exactly what to think of it, but I can't imagine it's going to be better than Jacksonville. I mean, despite like, you know, missing on a bunch of touchdowns, I don't know. What do you think about it?
I think for Ridley himself is kind of a downgrade just because quarterback's just not as good, or we don't think. And scheme will be a little different. What stands out to me is Will Levis, Billy Blue Jeans.
As AJ calls him.
You know, absolutely. He came out, the first game he played, he came out through four touchdowns, just fucking piss missiles. We're like, wow, this guy. You know what I mean? Just chucking them up. And it worked out really good for him that one game. But now I think, you know, Levis himself has a little bit better weapons now. I think Ridley is an upgrade for him. So I think this is a really good, we'll have a really good look at Will Levis this year.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the story of this signing, right? It's not so much. I mean, I don't know if we were all super excited about Calvin Ridley as it is.
He's fine.
Me and Jake actually just recorded something talking about Calvin Ridley and McLaurin. I think a little bit less excited about Ridley, especially given the change. But like you said, we're going to get a real good look at Will Levis, and he did show some flashes. So this will be the determining year for him, right? If he can't do it this year with these weapons, can he do it at all? Probably not.
It'll be a good test.
Yeah.
Gerald Everett to Chicago. Chargers last year, yeah? Last couple of years? Rams and the Chargers.
If you have to question where he was, does the signing matter that much?
I don't know. I know he ends up in my lineup every once in a while still in desperation.
Sure.
Your question here is, what's his impact on commit? I don't know if there is one. I mean, like, a legitimate one? I don't know. Not really entirely sure.
I think I'm with you, and I think commit was already valued, you know, fairly low. So if he takes another ding on this, sure, like take that value in your drafts. Like I think he was looking at tight end like 17. Yeah, it's something worth looking at, especially since he's going to get the QB upgrade with Caleb Williams, right? I mean, it should be a QB upgrade. We don't know that for sure, but it definitely should be.
We'll see about all that.
I'm not excited about Gerald Everett. Let me say that. Like,
nah, I don't care.
If you can move him for, I mean, almost anything, I'd probably take a fourth, maybe even like a third, fourth, late third.
I'll probably just keep him on my bench for that one week where I really need a tight end and just hope he catches a touchdown. Rondell Moore, my boy, golly, he's never going to pan out, is he? But he went to the Falcons, and so he gets I think at least a scheme upgrade based on the coaching staff they brought in from the Falcons or for the Falcons, compared to what the hell was going on with like Cliff Kingsbury and whoever the hell's there is now. Rondell Moore is probably not going to pan out, but I like that he's paired up with Kirk Cousins.
Sure. I'm much more excited about Darnell Mooney. And I think even with Kirk Cousins, it's too many mouths to feed given, you know, Bijan, Pitts, London, Mooney. Yeah. I mean, what is he going to be like? Bargain brand KJ Osborne?
Maybe.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know we think he's more explosive. I mean, maybe he's more than Bargain, but maybe he's better KJ Osborne, which isn't...
I think he is. I don't think it's going to have a big effect.
Okay, so he's, like, around, I think, rank, like, 200. I'm trying to see, like, what players, or picks, rather, like, if you would take anything, like, would you spend a mid-third on him now?
No.
What about sending Jonathan Mingo for more?
Yeah.
Okay. You could do that. They're back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want.
After
him,
I saw Mingo catch that ball and jump out of bounds on purpose.
Okay. It's over. That's it. You're done with it. All right. Fair enough.
All right. Cool. Fair enough. This is actually a big one in a way. Jerry Jeudy goes to the Browns. He got paid $358 million. 3 years, $58 million. We'll see what the guarantees are. It doesn't really matter. I don't care about that stuff so much.
I don't either. It was $41 million, though, which is shocking for what he's done.
I think a lot of these teams that, like, players don't necessarily, like, want to go. I think oftentimes teams have to pay up a little bit more to bring them in. That's, like, I think we talked about last week where Carolina seemed like a lot of their contracts were just slightly above, like, what would happen league average. Because nobody wants to go play in Carolina. But money talks, right? So there's always enough to go, like, say, fuck it. Like, there goes my career, but I'm getting paid.
I mean, Tennessee.
Yeah, really. Same thing, right? So, like,
similar, yeah.
But yeah, you know, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy. Interesting to see what happens with Elijah Moore. Is Elijah Moore better than Jeudy?
He fades into non-existence.
Like, I guess just based on what, the team investment?
Team investment, there's just not enough to go around again. Like, I think we're talking about Njoku, Cooper, and Jeudy, and a quarterback that most people don't believe in. So yeah. I don't know how good the situation is. And I mean, I like Jeudy as a prospect a lot. I think he's a great route runner. He's just never been able to put it together. And the situation's always been bad. This is one of the better situations he's been in his career, if not the best. I mean, last year should have been Russell Wilson experience should have been better for them. Wasn't. This is another kind of, you know, reclamation project in Watson. And so it kind of feels a little similar to what he was dealing with before, even though I have a little bit higher hopes for what Watson can do this year. So yeah, I'm just kind of like very lukewarm on it. I don't want to buy Jeudy at all. And if I can get out on him, this is a good time to do it. I imagine there'll be, you know, a boost in his value.
If you were going to put Jeudy on the trade block and say, hey, I'll take any blank round pick in 2024, where are you at on that?
Off the top of my head, like I'll take a mid-second.
Mid-second.
I'm looking at keep trade cut right now. He's around 159, which 149, which is, 2026 early second, 25 mid-second. So if I could stretch higher than that, like this year's, you know, early to mid-second, I think that's probably a good bet to kind of re-roll the dice at this point. But I wonder if you could reach higher. Like, I really do. Like, can you get a late first, like, despite what KTC is saying? And I mean,
don't
it's,
think you can.
You don't think so?
Okay. Nah, probably
then,
not.
Yeah, I'll re-roll for the second, because then I don't think you're ever going to be able to get really a late first. I mean.
So any mid-second this year?
Yeah, you have good receiver class, I think. I think I'd be willing to do it. I know Dan probably is going to watch or listen to this and be like, that's going to be a bust. That will be Jonathan Mingo, that pick you're getting back. So there's some
possible.
No, it is. There's certainly some validity to taking a Jeudy over that, especially in this new situation. So maybe I'm a little too lukewarm on it, but that's why I'm saying reach a little bit higher. Maybe see if you can get like a second plus, you know, maybe it won't be a first. Maybe somebody won't part with a first for Jeudy at this point, but I think you can maybe be able to get that value.
All right. Alexander Mattison to the Raiders. I'm not thinking it matters much.
Yeah, that's Mattison. Probably the right take.
Yeah.
Alexander doesn't matter. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, see,
we got there. Okay.
Yeah, and did you see that? You saw that clip I posted with Zamir White?
Dude, he looks like a guy who ate Zamir White. What are you talking about? That is
he looks like a 1990s linebacker. I'm like, holy cow. He's a farm boy, so I get it. Like, he's got cows,
Course you like him. Of course you like him, because he's turning over hay bales, like working out.
We're like the same.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't drinking water to spit that out just now. Oh my God, that's great. Yeah, no, I mean, that clip I literally had to watch back a second time because I didn't know who it was the first time I watched. I was like, what? That's Zamir White. That does not look like what he looked like when I last saw him. And I think this is good news, right? We were all kind of, I think, holding our breath last week as all these free agent running backs fell and, or landed rather, and we're wondering, was one of them going to, you know, land in Las Vegas? And then now we're saying, you know, is something going to happen in the draft? Well, they go ahead and they add Alexander Mattison, who is certainly a competent backup. We've seen him in that role plenty of times. So I think it makes a lot of sense for him to do that again. Now, I'm not like some Zamir White truther or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. No. But this is like the perfect situation, the perfect storm for a guy like this to have at least 1 year of like really awesome running back production. And he's going to be super cheap in drafts. Even now, I think in the draft that you and I are in, I mean, he went. Yeah, of course he did. And it was right before I was going to take him, but it was somewhere in like, I mean, the double digit rounds. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was late and that's really good value. So yeah, I love this for Zamir. I don't know if I'm like into buying tons of shares or anything like that, but for my shares, I'm pleased with that.
Yeah. Seems like they have, going into the draft, they have no running back need, quote unquote. Like they got the guy, they got the big dude, the dude, the heavy lifting. They got Alexander Mattison who could do the complimentary stuff. Like they're set at running back. Of course, we don't know who they like in the draft and all that, but right now Zamir seems pretty safe.
Are you taking Zamir White over an Alvin Kamara?
I might.
Okay, what about the 201 or Zamir White?
201.
I mean, Kendre Miller is currently valued around Zamir White. Like I would take Zamir White.
Yes, over Kendre. Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that kind of thing, yeah, that there's some opportunity, I think, with Zamir still to buy if you're into that, but it's right on that edge.
KJ Osborne is a Patriot.
Unfortunately.
So
the most mid wide receiver room in the league. Come on.
Just got more mid.
it's not really news.
KJ Osborne probably not gonna be a thing.
Evan Lazar, who's a Patriots guy, but he's absolutely one of the better film guys that I've come across, young guy, really good stuff. But he said something that struck me was like, if they got a wide receiver one, they would then have like a legitimate NFL wide receiver core. Adding Osborne kind of does that. And like, I think that's what happens there, but yeah, I'm not excited about any of it. He could probably work his way. Like one of these guys on this team is going to work their way. DeMario Douglas and somebody else is going to work their way into something. It's probably not going to be any of these receivers. I'd bet my money on Hunter Henry personally, but yeah, this is so gross. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about like what I would sell him for because I don't think anybody would buy him.
No. Sorry about your Patriots, man. Mike Williams. It's going to get worked out. Mike Williams becomes a Jet. What was his injury? Was that ACL?
Mike Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Surprised it wasn't a back the way he gets lands after every single catch.
As hard as he possibly can.
Yeah. WWE every single time. This is actually kind of interesting. I don't know what's going on with Lazard there. I know that Lazard was brought in for, we don't really probably necessarily like Lazard, but like I kind of like Lazard when he's paired up with Aaron Rodgers because he likes Lazard. Big boy. But this is actually kind of cool. Mike Williams, still decent wide receiver, and now he's going to get a pretty good quarterback to catch balls from. I'm mildly interested. At least the shares that I have of him on my dynasty teams, like I don't feel as bad about anymore.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. The shares that you have now, you probably feel better than you did the day before. And yeah, I think that like he's plus Alan Lazard almost, you know what I mean? For an Aaron Rodgers, like career wise, I think that he could really be a good fit there for him. Red zone guy, if he could stay healthy, of course, like there's some opportunity there, but you're obviously betting on the health of not only him, but his quarterback. So there's, you know, a lot can go wrong real fast. So I said what I said in the Discord, or I'll say what I said in the Discord, which was, this is a sell window, maybe your last, you should take it.
Yeah.
And we can talk about pricing, but like just off the top of your head, like what would you be willing, if he's on a roster right now, you know, I mean, any roster, I'd probably want to get rid of him. So if he's on your roster right now, what would you want to get rid of him for?
I would probably, I might pivot to Zamir White.
That's, Yeah, I'd be shocked if you can get that far. But you might be able to now with the landing spot. I don't know if you're gonna be able to do that.
Too far?
Maybe. I mean, just looking at, maybe KTC didn't quite update, probably didn't with his value, but I'm thinking he's Gabe Davis more like range.
More like a mid-third type deal.
Late second.
Late second. All right.
Yeah. So,
I'd probably still do it.
If you can move him for Zamir White, definitely do that. If I can move him for a mid-second, I'm 100% re-rolling the dice there. That's an easy move for me. Zamir White, we're talking about a little bit higher value than that, obviously. So that's a good value range probably for him.
All right. I think that's all the free agency news we have left that matters.
Yeah. This is just a really quick PSA because I don't think we talk about this enough. And anybody who's like even newer to Dynasty, this is a huge, I think, edge, especially if you're in a league with like other newer members. Obviously, I think more seasoned players probably have figured this out. But it's just like I put this tweet out. It's not intuitive at all because it doesn't make sense. Like, why would Sleeper, MFL, probably ESPN, any of the platforms, why wouldn't their ADP be accurate, right? It's like month or 2 months behind. It's like legitimately super stale data. And you can go in there and, Zamir White, he should be way higher, but he's like still down in like, the 180s or whatever it is. And it doesn't make any sense. So, if you're drafting in a league, one of the simplest tricks to like gain a little bit of an edge on some of your competition, if not all, depending again on how seasoned they are, is to use an external ADP source. Like right now, I think most of us are using Adecco's like Dynasty Lab ADP, which has been really, really good. And it's, you can, filter the date for like the last week if you want, the last 2 weeks, whatever it is, you can do whatever. So, and that's huge. Like if you're looking at current ADP, and you can see those edges, those guys who are just way, way down in the draft or, who you can wait and grab or just, different things who are way ahead of ADP on, this current version of Sleeper's ADP, you can use it to your advantage and play the board. And it's something that I do every single pick. I look at the ADP, I look at my rankings, I look at all that stuff, but definitely if nothing else, if you just looked at their ADP versus your own ADP, you're going to notice a lot of differences and potential opportunities.
It's good advice.
That's all.
All right. No, I like it. I forgot all about Adecco's ADP. I used it pretty extensively last year. There's like so many free resources for like really good dynasty stuff. And what I really need to do is make a note or a tab that has all of them. So I don't forget all of them, like Dynasty Daddy, Fantasy Mocks, Adecco's Fantasy Lab. There's more.
Have you not seen his new Fantasy Lab or have you?
I probably. Yes, I have seen that. I didn't know that was even a Deco's. It didn't look like that.
It's not. The old one's gone, dude. So yeah, it's okay, really good. It's very, very good. Yeah. And like I said, I'm promoting this guy's thing. Like I have no affiliation, but you can do a lot of cool stuff and filter it. And I don't think it's filtering all for rookies and everything. And there's also like a paid version, but the free version is great, man. Like the startup ADP is awesome. Yeah. Highly recommend that. So
yeah. Another one just kind of off the rails here, but Zeno is my dot name. We'll do
I didn't know if you were speaking English anymore.
Yeah, it's Zeno. It like, and bingo is my name. Oh, so it's Zeno is my
we're off the name. Rails and we're so off the rails.
You could sort basically it's almost like Peter Howard's data in a shiny app, and you could sort yards per out run and all kinds of different stuff for all the other metrics. If you're not very good with like coding or even Excel spreadsheets making your own charts, this will do it for you.
All right, so pop that in the Discord. That's a good one. I like that.
All right, let's hop into the prospect profiles. So Billy has tasked me with Frank Gore Jr. and Marshawn Lloyd, which is great. These are two, I think, interesting and very similar players data-wise.
Really? I like that you said that because I don't think that they're viewed very similarly in
the, and in I the can
rookie
see
draft community.
If I watch them, I bet I could tell Marshawn Lloyd's going to look a little bit more like Grease Lightning and Frank Gore's going to look like he's running in the mud, probably.
Comparatively, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's just my guess. Great. I did watch Frank Gore, the Lending Tree Bowl from, I think, 2023, the whole thing. It was pretty good. But I'll hop in with Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd played 4 years, 5'9", 220. That boy is thick. 32.5 BMI. He ran a 4.4 4.46 40, so thick and pretty fast. His best season points per game was 17.1, pretty damn good. Anything over 16 is nice. His average elusive rating for PFF is 116.5. His best season target share was 8.6%, which is not bad. It means he can catch the ball. 56.7 breakaway rate per PFF, and PFF's pass block grade was 28.9, which is not great. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all I have on Marshawn Lloyd. Not a lot of fun metrics for running backs compared to wide receivers for me.
Marshawn Lloyd, actually, that's funny. I think that he's a better pass blocker than maybe the data is showing. But for me, I mean, I think what I want to talk about with him is really mainly the vision, because I think that's where his biggest weakness is at. There, the film room is out on our YouTube channel, and there's plenty of plays in any game you watch where he's not taking an open lane and he's actually running directly into defenders. Like it's shocking. Like I've never seen anything like it. So that's one thing that I do think could prevent him from reaching, you know, his ceiling in the NFL. But for his size, he's an exceptional route runner. He's really elusive. He's got pretty good burst, but his receiving ability really stands out. And like I said, I talked about his routes and his receiving ability separately, because I do kind of view those things a little, you know, a little differently. Like, can you run like any sort of route tree? And, you know, how are your hands? Like, how are you after the catch, your catch run transition, all that stuff? And I do think he has really, really good receiving ability that shows up on tape. Pretty good contact balance, but for his size, I do think that he's taken down too easily at times, but he's good at evading tackles. He's good at, you know, forcing missed tackles.
Yes.
And he is, I think, one of the best blockers in the class. On film, it did show up. I think he uses his size really well, and he's aggressive. So I was pretty impressed with what I saw. I don't think he's like top of the class. He's more middle of the class in terms of film, but they're kind of bunched together in terms of grading there. But yeah, that's kind of where I fall with Lloyd. I think he lacks in vision, and that's his main flaw. Outside of that, he's actually a pretty exciting prospect. And I do think kind of data-wise, he looks pretty good too. I think his missed forced tackles were pretty solid, if I remember correctly. Maybe I'm wrong about it. No, they were. Yeah, he had 47. He was 12th in missed forced tackles in the class, missed tackles. Yeah, he was pretty good in that regard. So that's what you want to see.
I did not look at Miss Tackles Forced. I should have. That's okay. We move on. Frank Gore Jr. Yes, the son of the Frank Gore.
I like this guy.
I'm not a huge film guy, but I did watch, just because it popped up and doing my research, he played in a bowl game, which the bowl games have the craziest stupid names, but the Lending Tree Bowl, he played against Rice. And
oh yeah, dominated.
The notes were that Gore became the first FBS running back with 300 over 300 rushing yards and a passing touchdown in a game since Darren McFadden in 2007. So I had to go and watch it, and they used him a lot. I don't think that any of the Rice linebackers or safeties are going to get drafted in the NFL, because he was embarrassing them the whole game.
Because of Gore.
I don't know. I don't think they're good, but because Gore didn't seem to be that shifty, but he had good vision, it looked like. So, yeah, Gore, 4 years, 5'8", 201, 30.6 BMI. His best points per game was 20, which is really good. His average elusive rating per PFF is 112, slightly less than Lloyd. His best target share was 9.9%, which is great. Like, you're almost at 10% target share for a running back. Like, what else do you really want? Like, I mean, not everybody's going to go out there and get 15, 16% of their target share on a team, but like, he shows that he's very, very capable and actually getting the ball and then catching the ball and running with the ball, which is what we need. I think he had 3 drops though last year, just throwing that out there. His breakaway weight was 46.7 compared to Lloyd's 56.7, and his PFF pass block grade was 75.4. So, like, take it with a grain of salt, right? PFF and their ranks and all stuff, they're always really good when they agree with what you agree with, and they're always terrible when they don't. But I trust that they do it pretty unbiasedly. But they gave him a really fantastic pass block grade at 75.4. And that's pretty much all I have.
That's interesting. I thought that he lacked a little something in the pass blocking department. Granted, there's not that much film out there on Gore, especially all 22. I mean, Southern
Mississippi. Yeah. All 4 years, you know, he didn't transfer or nothing. So that's kind of,
yeah, he wore like,
he's loyal.
Loyal. Yeah. He wore like four different numbers. I swear. I think he wore his dad's number. He wore the number you see there. I think he wore a different one too. I'm not even sure. There was a bunch. It was confusing. It really was watching the tape. I'm like, wait, is that him? And it was. I'm like, oh, all right, different number. But just getting into it, I love that, you know, some of the numbers really do match what you see on tape, especially in the receiving department. I mean, he's as good a receiver, if not better than Marshawn Lloyd, but I do have him graded just about the same in that department. He's just so smooth with it. He catches everything with his hands. Really good catch to run transition. The one thing is he's not super elusive in the run or pass game. Doesn't really matter which one we're talking about. He's a little rigid, I guess, for lack of a better word. Doesn't exhibit a ton of bend below the waist, but he's really nimble. That's the word I think I kept going back to with him. He's got really quick feet in tight spaces, in traffic, between the tackles. Like, really, really good vision. You can see that, you know, he's patient. He uses tempo. And he hits the hole with good burst, right? Not a ton of burst, but good burst. He definitely lacks long speed. He doesn't have it. It's not there. And that may limit him at the next level, but he's a bowling ball. He exhibits an incredible contact balance. I mean, bouncing off defenders left and right, you see it all over the place. I'm really interested in Frank Gore. I mean, he has the pedigree. You know, yes, that teams are going to be talking to his pops. You know what I mean? Like, it's all this stuff's going to happen. A little bit of the Brendan Rice fever, but also I think he has a skill set the NFL is going to really be interested in. Like, we're looking at a guy here who can be effective on the ground and can catch the ball. Like, he can do both, and he has the size, right? He's not massive or anything like that, but he's over 200 pounds. That's what we need to see. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be like an every down stud or anything. Either one of these guys, I don't see really like that, but I like what I see from Frank Gore. And I think that he can definitely carve out a role in the NFL. So yeah, we got to see the draft capital and landing spot, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty thorough workload in college. Like, he was mm-hmm. very capable of being a guy you give the ball to 15 times a game. Mm-hmm. I believe like his first down rate and then his like red zone carries, like, it showed that this team wants to give him the ball in short yardage because he's just going to go out there and get it. But yeah, I'm excited about it. Maybe just because I really like his dad, and his entire career was just amazing. And watching interviews with Frank Gore too, Frank Gore Jr. he's just extremely likable. So I know that's not really a metric, but
yeah. What's the guy on Twitter? His name is Zach something. He does like the interview scores, yes, or whatever. It's kind of like that, right? And he probably would score very highly in that regard. If you watch the film room on our YouTube channel, there's a little clip in there of him pushing his maybe it was his aunt. I don't know if it was actually his aunt, but not in a menacing way. She got like in middle of his interview and he's like, yo, like, chill out, auntie. Like,
yes,
he's a really funny dude. Like, he's got it going on. I like him a lot. And just to really quickly jump back into the numbers before we move on to the dynasty trades, third in this class in missed tackles for us at the running back position with 67. Like, that's a ton. There's a pretty large gap between the guys who have, like, you know, 60, and then it goes down pretty sharply there. But he's up there with guys like, you know, Audric Estime, Jonathan, yes, Brooks, Bucky Irving, Ray Davis, I'm, you know, we're talking about the top
powerful dudes. Class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you want to, you know, just go to another metric, yards after contact per attempt, he's 21 in the class, which is not the best, not the worst though. Like, it's pretty good. So yeah, I think he's got some juice.
Awesome. Thanks for filling in those other metrics.
I was just covered, brother. That's cool. I got you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's cool. I really like both of them. I do believe I'm going to have, you know, 40% Frank Gore probably by all.
I mean, yeah, probably. And then popping the graphic back up one more time, because first of all, he's not ranked on KTC.
No.
Right? 53rd in ADP. And this is not a Deco's because I couldn't get the running back filter on, but this is Dynasty League Football's. So still great ADP. 53rd overall, running back 14. We have him at running back 10, 36. Either way, that's still like, you know, we're not talking about second round or anything yet.
No.
And, you know, Marshawn Lloyd, we're talking about running back 6 or 7, no matter where you're looking at it. So in terms of like who we're going to have more of, if we like Frank Gore, you know, as much at the end of the day, and he gets similar DC and or, you know, as good a landing spot, like, I think we're going to end up having more Frank Gore if he's going to be going later. Bottom line.
Bottom line. Sweet. All right. Let's hop into some trades, non-trades, and then I'll get out there and help my wife plant a fruit tree.
Look at that West Coast. I'm not planting any fruit trees over here. It's 8:40.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
All right. First one, Evan Hull. Big deal, this Evan Hull. we're in a startup right now. And like,
oh, my goodness.
Apparently, you can't select Evan Hull without the whole league going crazy. But Evan Hull and the 301 for Mims.
Evan Hull and the yes, this was some negotiation. This was, I think, the only trade on here that actually didn't happen. But this was some negotiations going down. I was looking for a second for Mims, just given, you know, the opportunity and I think kind of trying to push on that market value right now, given the exit of Jerry Jeudy and his, you know, his potential to be the wide receiver two, I guess, there and maybe greater, depending on how you view a Marvin Mims. The offer I got was Evan Hull in the 301. Would you take that?
Yeah, probably. I don't think Mims is actually going to pan out.
I think that's a fair take. I should have taken it, I think. I wonder if I could still get it done. This is in a DU league, so potentially listening right now and or watching and maybe not going to do that deal with me now. But it's 301 is probably close enough, and I don't know why I didn't really view it that way. But I think that's, yeah. I mean, close enough, right? Like, whatever.
I think so, yeah.
And I like Evan Hull. I think, you know, I think he is going to be the direct backup to JT.
We saw what Zach Moss was able to do when JT wasn't available last year, so. It's possible, not wishing anything bad on Jonathan Taylor, but you never know.
No. Okay.
Brock Purdy for Tyreek Hill.
This is not the first time I've made this trade, but I've made it in two very different times. Like, I made it probably like 3 or 4 months ago on our Devy team. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, trying to shave off some points from our roster as we were, you know, heading into the end of the season, trying to secure a better draft position. So, you know, it made sense for our team there where we were really struggling at QB. This team that I did this trade for, my QBs were Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Very, very poor situation I put myself in. Like, it was all my doing. My team is actually pretty solid outside of that, but not no QBs. So I felt like I could move off of Tyreek Hill for a Purdy in that situation. How do you feel about that?
I liked it when we did it in Devy, and I still like it for you now. You got to take the quarterback there.
I think that's kind of a trade that seems like you're losing now, but you're going to win down the road. You know what I mean? Like, to some people, to me, I don't really view it that way necessarily. I do think it's kind of, it's at the very least fair. I'm not saying like I like won out or anything like that, but it's at the very least fair. But I think it's one of those that, you know, in a year, you're like, yeah, I'd much rather have Purdy at this point.
Kind of. I think so. I mean, we don't have to mention it, but I think, you know, Hill is getting older, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's 29, I think now. Yeah. And just looking at KTC, they're not back to back, but 33 and 35. So it's clearly a very even deal.
George Kittle for Bourne, Pollard, Otten, and a 312.
I'm just trying to buy up all the Kittle I can. He is valued around tight end 8. You see, I drafted him in the draft we're in now, right in the 8th round. And that's pretty much an auto pick for me. So this is just me kind of trying to do that outside of a draft. And I feel like, you know, no matter who I'm offering this to, they're going to look at it and say, you know, Kate Otten had a pretty good end of his season. He's a much younger tight end. Kate Otten can probably be similar to George Kittle. And fair enough, like, maybe that can happen. I don't quite see it. I actually like Kate Otten enough, but I don't see the difference making upside. And then obviously you add on Pollard to that and then some ancillary pieces there. I can like envision what somebody's trying to put together on that side of it. But for me, I really like the every week upside you get with a George Kittle. And then, you know, you're hearing all the rumors of Brandon Ayuk potentially signing elsewhere, being traded elsewhere. If that were to happen, I mean, hurts the Brock Purdy shares a little bit maybe, but, you know, they're probably going to add another receiver, but George Kittle is going to take priority in the pecking order at that point. So, you know, I can just see a way that his value increases as well.
You know, pretty much out on what Pollard could be. Bourne isn't anything. 312 is whatever. I think it's good for you. I am a big Kate Otten guy, mm-hmm. Especially after what he did last year and how young he is. So it's not really someone I'm trying to move off of, but I understand what you're trying to do here. I think for the foreseeable future, I think Kittle, at least for the next couple of years, still probably outproduces Otten. And I don't think you're giving up much else on the other end. Pollard, 312, and Bourne. So anytime I see four pieces for one, like I typically the one piece is the side I'm going to go for. So
that's fair. Yeah. And I think one thing just with tight ends in general that we forget because we're ageists in dynasty is that they age quite well, at least the elite ones do. Right. Yeah. And that's exactly what George Kittle is. And we talk about this with Mark Andrews, who's 28. I mean, George Kittle's 30, but we know that he could easily put together another 2 to 3 very quality seasons. Yeah. And obviously then it starts to, you know, get shaky, but he could, you know, very reasonably do that. So I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves in terms of the age thing. I know, you know, Dalton Kincaid's ahead of him and guys like that. I mean, that's fair, but I'm not there personally.
Rashad White, interesting. For Aaron Jones and Dallas Goedert. I'm not a huge Rashad White guy. I turned into one about halfway through the season last year. I'm going to go ahead and go with Rashad White here, especially since they brought back everybody. Baker, Evans, it's the same thing. You shouldn't expect anything really less from Rashad White than you got from him last year. Aaron Jones, I don't think he's washed necessarily, but he's getting close. And Goddard is a fine tight end.
Pretty sure I talked about Aaron Jones. Yeah, last week for sure. I don't need to rip into him anymore. But yeah, this is, I mean, I'm not, you've known me too. I'm not a Rashad White guy really, but this is fairly easily Rashad White for me. There's a ton of tight ends ahead of Goddard for me. I could see a couple jumping ahead of him too after this year with a couple breakouts pretty easily. So I think that his production is going to be fairly replaceable, especially in the scheme that he's in. And Rashad White gives you, I think, a significant advantage over these guys, especially in your roster. So I do dig that. That was a console wars trade. It wasn't one of ours or anything like that, but I saw it and I was like, that's interesting. If you can get Rashad White, like this is the stuff I was talking about last week with Aaron Jones. Like if he's going to get a little value boost, which it seems like from going to Minnesota, then yeah, like if you can do stuff like this, I think you want to tear up.
Yeah. I think maybe Dallas Goedert might be seeing him thrown in here as like extra pieces. I think he might be becoming a buy.
Okay.
Like he's fine, right? He's not a top five tight end there, but he's certainly like top 12. And seeing him in trades like this where it seems like he's kind of like just like an extra piece and not like a target. Just spitballing here. I'm wondering if Goddard might be somebody you go out and get on your team for cheap.
Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about it. He's tight end 19. So, I mean, I don't think
he's going to finish anything lower than that.
I mean, he's like...
Or higher, whatever he is.
Okay, so it's like you can get him for like a Zach Charbonnet. Would you rather have Isaiah Likely or Dallas Goedert?
If everything went perfect, Dallas Goedert, but Likely just because we've seen him step in and immediately be a baller.
Romeo Doubs or Dallas Goedert?
Goedert probably in tight end premium. Okay.
So there is opportunity for you to do it, and I think that's fine. I agree with that kind of thing. There's probably some rookie picks you can get rid of, like some late seconds. Let's see, mid 25 second for Dallas Goedert.
I don't know.
It
just seems so much cheaper than he did like 2 years ago.
Well, because he was getting a lot more targets 2 years ago. He's not getting that many targets now. That's the problem.
Okay. Last one here. This is a trade I made. Sent away Josh Jacobs, 206, 208 for George Kittle and the 109. That might be the 110 actually, but
I might have got that wrong. I think put this on here and this is console wars and there's like 36 pick or 36 round draft for each round. Just got to divide it by 3 because there's 3 copies. So
this is all part of a bigger trade I made back probably December where I sent some rookie picks a first, a second, and I ended up getting like Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, just some older running backs that I thought, okay, if all goes well, I should be able to add these up to more than my first and my second. And Quentin Johnson was in that, and Michael Mayer was also in it. So yeah, it was Quentin Johnson, Michael Mayer, and my first. And I ended up getting Jacobs and some guys. Anyways, this is the last piece that I can actually move. I ended up with Dalvin Cook in that, but that doesn't really do me any good. But I was trying to move Josh Jacobs last year during the playoff run, but I was able to move him. I was able to move Josh Jacobs, the 206-208 for George Kittle. I needed a tight end, and I got a first back. I got 1.1 or 1.10.
Yeah, 1.1 would have been nice.
Yeah, right.
No. I like this, and I know that you also got rid of Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
You got him as part of that deal, too, and I remember you got rid of him for a pretty quality deal also. I don't remember exactly what it was, but this one I like. Like, I would take the 110 over the both seconds, and then I like Kittle over Jacobs. I think that's perfect. Like, I'm just talking about Kittle this whole time, but in terms of sustainability and longevity, Kittle definitely offers way more of that, even at 30, right? We know Josh Jacobs, 300-plus season, that's not great for the efficiency. We know last season his efficiency was way down. Makes sense. I mean, that's probably why they were comfortable with going with Zamir White, who was better than him on a per-touch basis. But I don't know how much life Josh Jacobs has left in him. He's in a good situation, and this year probably can be solid. It may be again, though. It may be inefficient again, though. You know what I mean? And he may just continue to decline. But he's definitely going to get volume, and he's going to have good opportunities, obviously, with that team. So I get that, but that's obviously you're trying to get out of him a year early before a year too late. And if any kind of injury happens here, you're pretty much screwed, and you're holding the bag on Josh Jacobs. So I think you got out at a good time. I don't like buying running backs in the offseason. I like selling them. And I like selling them, and I like getting first-round picks and sustainability. And I think that's what you did getting Kittle in the first. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
Love it. That's all I have. Anything else you want to talk about?
That's it, man. Wait. 101 for the 102 and the 111.
Sure.
Sure. Whichever side. You're on either side.
I would trade down a spot to grab another first.
Yeah.
Because in reality, that first quarterback is probably going to have the same chances of success as the second running back, quarterback. Sorry.
That's a good way to put it for sure.
Whether it be Jalen Daniels, May, Caleb Williams, they're all rookie quarterbacks, and we know they're not all going to hit. So you might as well, if it's only one spot, I might as well pick up the 111 too.
And it depends, it depends for sure. Like, context matters too, though, right? Like, if say you have the 101, but you're like, you got Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, or you know, whatever, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, somehow you have like this ridiculous room, then
that's
you can
a
do
no-brainer
easily and go Marvin Harrison and then go and pick up whatever you want at 111. So there's that context, but I do agree with you. Like, I'd be fine dropping down, taking Jaden Daniels myself personally, if I'm in that, you know, quarterback situation, and then going and getting your receiver or whatever you want at 111. It'll probably be a receiver. So
I kind of agree with you. Yeah,
I do too. Like, and honestly, the truth is that people don't want to hear is that what you said, the chances of those three quarterbacks hitting are much closer than people want to admit. You know what I mean? They're very similar.
Like, one of them gets a second contract. Yeah.
And
that's just facts. It is what it is. So yeah, I don't mind moving back one spot. I mean, if that question was phrased at like 103, I might be a little concerned because I would want my choice
of May or Daniels, depending where they go.
I want to make that choice. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, that trade got done, I'm pretty sure. I think I actually remember hearing that got done. So
yeah.
I dig it. I like it. That's all I got, man. Yeah, appreciate the viewers and listeners. I see a lot of people tuned in. But yeah, everybody comment next time. We'll take questions. We'll pop it on the screen. We'll talk about it. And yeah, join the Discord.
Yes,
if you're not there already.
Discord. Thanks for giving us a listen. Follow us on Twitter at DynastyHunterDog, at Uriah Dawkins, at Willie Beeman, DFF. Our part-time partner in crime at Jake Abrams. Join our Discord and check out the YouTube. Billy's doing a great job with that. It's coming along quite nice. And then if you listen to us on the podcast form, try us on Spotify, please. Other than that, have a good night.
Peace out.